FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus star?
Right here. And you'll take the chorus star.
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 306, recorded November 3rd, 2018. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Rick Alvarez.
Greetings, people of Earth.
Lucas Bachelman.
Hey.
Robert hey. Simmons.
Howdy, a.k.a. Berman, a.k.a. XAOX.
XAOX. Just Zao. Zao. I remember the first time I ever saw that on TFW. I'm like, how the hell do you say that? Zao?
Zao? That was a common Zao? Response.
Yeah.
Zao.
Zao. I remember the first time he saw you and everything, your XAOX. I'm like, oh, so you're Zao. Also, welcome Paul Frimmel to the show.
Hello. How's it going?
He was previously a guest on the show. Now he's a member of the full fledged member of the cast. Now we're going to have to break him in the proper way. So, yeah. All newbies to the show must go shirtless.
No, thanks.
Oh man, we totally should have done our show from TFCon with our shirts on and not even address it. Just no, we don't have shirts on.
It's like, why are they not wearing shirts?
And just everybody's topless.
No one wants that. No one wants that at all.
Yeah. No.
Bunch
no.
of fat Transformer nerds.
fat hairy chested Transformer girth. Guys.
I'm cultivating girth.
But yeah, we're on the heels of the TFCon Chicago 2018, which was last weekend for us as we're recording this and broadcasting this now. Hopefully everybody was able that if you weren't there, you were able to see the broadcast that we made from the hotel. We literally got around a round table and a bunch of us just sat there and did a podcast and had a lot of fun and
after we sat for an hour before we could get it working. But
I blame my laptop for that.
So that was the most we ever had in one room at one time, the most cast ever.
Mm-hmm. In the history of the podcast, yes. I mean, I'd had maybe, I think, three people before at one time, but never that many at once. So that was really, really awesome. And, you know, we had some really great times at the show. I know I did. I know you guys did from all the chats that we have. We'll talk a little bit about that here momentarily because that's what this show is. We're going to talk about our experiences at TFCon, both good and bad. Some things that we saw, some things that we didn't see, and maybe one of us did see it. I don't know. We're going to talk a little bit about the news of next year's TFCon. And then we may talk about some other things that are related to it. I do want to give a shout out to everybody that is joining us live right now. I see Antoine Lewis, Emmett Sresovich.
Antoine!
Yes. Hey guys, welcome to the live show. And as always, if you're watching live on YouTube, you can comment on the chat section there and they pop up here and we can see what you're saying, and we can reply if appropriate. sometimes they're inappropriate.
Or if not appropriate, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Stojevrog.
Seven is Stojna.
Stojevrog. That translates to what the hell. What the hell. But, should we start off with Ouch My Wallet?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that we each have an Ouch My Wallet that's pretty epic. Let's not let it go the entire length of the show because they can do that. So kind of do the cliff notes, the highlights, as it were. So Rick, I heard you got some new children.
Yes, this is my daughter Gabrielle. A lot of people say it's Gabriel DX9, but it's actually pronounced Gabrielle DX9. So she's, you know, she's my third child, DX9. And then when I came back from TFCon, I had another child, and this is my other children. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, man, that is heavy. Shipped straight from China. Doesn't it look like me? I'm so proud of my boy. He lights up, and he's diecast, and I love it.
RFC's diecast, but he's diecast.
No, he's got diecast metal components. So I'm thinking about taking this Matrix and throwing it at a car windshield to see if it'll break the windshield. Because this Matrix is solid, man. This thing is not going to break. It's gonna shatter that car.
Put a chain on it.
This thing is epic, man. It's tight. It's the paint application is great. All the joints are tight. Electronic features. Huge ass Matrix. Transforming blaster. I couldn't be happier with this. Shipped straight from China. This is the Luwin. I'm just going to call him Luis because, I'm going to keep the Spanish theme going. So this is my son, Luis.
Luis.
I'm just Luis.
If somebody's going to do a knockoff, that's the way to do a knockoff. Do it giant.
So rumor is Megatron's next.
Mm.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which makes me think how they're going to get that in the country. How do you ship a giant? I mean, it's a handgun, right? But it's like.
Put it in robot mode. Like,
yeah, one where you gotta pull the trigger. Oh, this came because this one came transformed as a truck in order to fit in the box, right? So I imagine Megatron, in order to fit in a smaller package, would have to come in his gun mode. Maybe the cannon.
I would say robot mode, but packaged with the barrel and everything, you know, off to the side.
Yeah, you know, if the feet are collapsed and everything is, yeah, maybe.
I got a few questions about that thing, if you don't mind.
Like, yeah, it's about 50 pounds. My poor wife.
Was there any packaging for that, or was it just like, you know, in the box with a bunch of padding?
There's an actual box for it. It's on the other side of the vault. It comes in a huge styrofoam package. It is a very nice box. Oddly enough, the box came like wrapped. You ever order something from China and they just kind of like put tape around it?
Yeah,
they just kind of put like bubble wrap around it and then taped the bubble wrap until like the whole ream of tape was gone.
Everything from China is covered in tape every single time.
It's like the universal packaging.
So
material.
My wife's Chinese, right? So I'm just going to give everyone a bunch of tape for Christmas. You get duct tape because you're special.
That's what you should do for Ripped. Just put the shirt in some bubble wrap and then put in a bunch of duct tape and ship it out.
Get some of that Transformers duct tape that came out here a while back. I've got like 9 rolls of that stuff.
So, I'm not listening to any of that.
So that hurt my wallet because this was a bill. This was expensive, but yeah. And it shipped and it came in like 1 week, and I'm super happy. It got here faster than my first two kids.
Wow,
that thing is so awesome. I just don't know where to put it. Like these giant Transformers, like there's nowhere for them.
It's like you want them, but there's nowhere to put them.
Yeah, I really want that so bad.
I just got my 30, and the problem is with this, it's so heavy you can't put it on a glass shelf. So I just got my 30th display case, and it's 5 feet long by 5.5 feet tall. So this one's going to go on the bottom of that. It's going to hit him and his cousins, his brothers and sisters. I don't, you know, back here is, you know, Grand Maximus kind of hiding. But and Gabriel's freaking awesome. That's a great transformation mode. Yeah. I'm so happy I got
that. Did you ever transform him at the show?
No, but I noticed that Duran, you put his arms on backwards at the show.
Yeah, well, that's my first time I ever actually messed with that toy. So
yeah, but how often do you have Omega Supreme? I just left it because it was such a hassle getting him in there. I realized there's like a little tab that we weren't messing with. Yeah.
Well, I have the better one of Terminus Giganticus. So
This is the more cartoon accurate. I think this is
no.
I think that's the better one, man.
No,
DX9 but, all the way on this one.
Yeah. Robert, I'm with you.
DX9 is actually fun to transform as well.
Gabriel. Please. Gabriel and Luis. Luis 01.
Until you mentioned it, I didn't even consider them continuing that giant Transformer line. Like, that's a scary prospect.
The Lei Wynn?
Yeah, like with a giant Megatron to go with it. Like, what are the sound waves, Starscream? Yeah.
Imagine if they get to Omega Supreme. It'd be like human size.
They're going to repaint this a million times. So they're going to make the Shattered Glass, the, Ark of the Covenant, Silver Lagoon, Golden Lagoon, Purple Lagoon. They're going to make a whole bunch of these. So
I'm just trying to figure out, what did your mailman think when he's delivering this 50-pound box wrapped in this Chinese tape?
She's great. I give her something nice every holiday season just because she delivers so many packages to my house. I mean, everything is like Amazon and eBay. So, she just backs up the truck every time and just dumps everything on the front yard.
She just gets a tractor trailer and brings it to your house.
Yeah, I live in a cul-de-sac in the middle of Endor, so I'm pretty isolated from society. So there's no one who could steal a box off my porch. So she just backs up the truck and, tilts it, and everything just kind of falls out. So that's my wallet.
Like a dump truck.
My wallet's hurting.
All righty. Well, let's go to Lucas. What did you get at?
I believe that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you for coming to the FYLP. We'll see you next week.
I got myself a Bob. So
my name is Bob. From the
TFCon custom class. So that was my first custom class, and it was fun to do, so I'll definitely be doing that again. And then I got myself the Stealth Azalea
The face on that just ruins it for me.
Oh, I love it. That orange face.
The smile on it just ruins it.
Even better.
That's great. We need more characterization in our action figures.
Well, yeah. It comes with like five faces too. So if you don't
are they
like
darkness?
Yeah, they've got a bunch of them. So
are they the five faces of darkness? Why?
Yeah, pretty much.
They totally need to make a figure like that, and all the faces are interchangeable, and they're like the Quintesson faces. Yes.
So, hey, Lucas, yeah, with that Azalea, how was the transformation on that? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it fun?
It is absolutely amazing. So normally what I do with transformations is I'll watch some YouTube videos first, like before I transform it. This one I was doing up in my room and had no issues. Didn't even have to pull out the instructions. So, I know
that's great. We don't pull out.
You're saying Duran the Rouge, I guess, is kind of a pain to transform, right?
Yeah, she can be. She looks great. She looks great, but she's terrible to transform.
Like most trans toy stuff recently.
Yeah.
Yep. But this is the anti-Rouge. So it was a piece of cake to transform, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm really glad I picked her up. So, and then today I just happened to get this guy too. Well, both of them. So, yeah.
Can you stand him next to like a Voyager from the previous line, just so I can get an idea scale? I noticed you have some toys behind you.
And just for record, make sure you say what it is you're holding up to, for the audio listeners. So they don't just sit there and go, what's he holding up? I can't see it.
Okay, so this is the Titan Return Blitzwing, or I'm sorry, Titan Returns, like the G2 Megatron.
Yeah.
Takara one. So it's a little bit smaller. You can kind of see.
Yeah, it looks like they're pretty comparable in size.
Now that is the Siege Megatron, correct?
Yeah, this is the Siege Megatron.
Yeah, it just looks like, even if I didn't have the other Megatron as comparison, it just looks like the head is a little tiny on that Siege Megatron.
Yeah, I mean, the head is actually bigger than the Titan Returns one. But in general, these figures are a small Voyager. So I'd say that they're similar size to the Classics Optimus is pretty much about the scale.
From transforming it and messing around, have you noticed if there's any, like, hidden potential? Like we've seen that, Six Gun comes apart and Cog comes apart. And Armada Megatron, nobody knew that Tidal Wave was going to connect to him when that toy first came out. Do you see anything on that Megatron that could hint at something like that?
There's a lot of ports. I mean, I guess that's the gimmick for the line now is, having all the 5mm ports that you can plug into. I mean, as far as the figure itself, I mean, it turns into an H-Tank. So it really seems like they made this as a Megatron and that they're not trying to do like a pre-paint for, like they have in the past.
No, I meant did it look like there might be like some armor or another figure coming down the road that maybe we haven't seen that you go, you hooked that here and you it looks like something hooks here. It's wishful thinking on my end.
I don't really think so. Not on the Megatron. I mean, I think with the Optimus, it definitely could be, some potential additional armor pieces. But the Megatron, it seems like it is pretty compact and there's not a lot of extra stuff outside of the 5mm ports.
I keep hoping for that Decepticon armor from the IDW series. I push for that so hard. Somebody's got to make that someday.
That sword is pretty dope.
That's all right. It's from the comic books. It's okay. I'm the only guy who reads comic books here.
Well, it was, yeah, I mean, it wasn't drawn to look. The potential for it was kind of lackluster in the execution, I would say, in the comic. I think it could have looked a little cooler.
Oh, you know what? You're off the show. Thank you. Thank you for showing up today. The prize is at the door. You're that's it. We're done here.
So what else did you get, Lucas? Or is that?
Let's see. I got the Aero Alpha repaint is from the show. So, and the colors are absolutely beautiful on this. So I wish all of the MMC, figures would be this well painted is what they do for their convention exclusives. This is a really, really neat figure as well. So that's pretty much it.
I thought it was pretty, but it was one of those toys that just really didn't speak to me because I don't get the reference. I mean, people explain to me and I'm like, it's not something I'm into, not. And so if I don't connect with what it's supposed to be homaging, it loses its luster to me. But it did look really pretty. I have to give it that. And like the Stealth Azalea, it was great, but then the face just killed it. I mean, I understand that it's a Halloween exclusive, but Halloween's only a short time of the year. The rest of the year, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I got a Halloween toy. So, I mean, it's almost like displaying a Santa Claus year round.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have a couple shelves that are just a bunch of funky stuff. And so, like, you know, loud pedal and, you know, just different stuff like that. And so that's the shelf that she's going to go on. And same thing with the MNC that I picked up all the Shattered Glass stuff last year. And so it's just, you know, the funky MNC repaint shelf.
I have a similar shelf a lot of that lands on.
I call those guys the Nails, the non-affiliated Indigenous life forms. It's another IDW reference, but those
are all the Transformers
that come back from all the different colonies to resettle Cybertron after the war's over. So that's where like that lives, and all the other characters that don't really have proper histories or names. So they're all Nails.
Nails.
Well, Ollie,
but I feel like what? I feel like that's a perfect thing for third party though too, is that, you know, Hasbro or Takara is never going to do that kind of stuff, right? So you're safe by picking that kind of stuff up. Whereas if, you know, you pick up a Fanstoys figure, like, I mean, Takara may eventually do them, or, you know, so.
Like Hound.
Yeah, but there's a million different, you know, you have to take into consideration, you know, transformation. What era are they doing? Is it, like, supposed to be, like, a Cybertronian alt mode versus a Earth alt mode versus animated alt mode? So there's a lot of things that go into it. I see your point, but let's move on. Paul.
Yeah, I do Rob last because he only got one thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what that is. I'll go pretty quick. I mean, I got these guys just showed up in the mail today. The Gull,
very nice.
The Goon. Which I'm pretty excited. I really wish we would get a normal Starscream at some point. Then you could have four Starscream limbs to go on Power of the Prime Starscream.
Oh, yeah. There's the Club, there's the Ghost, the Gull.
Yeah, it's not just a normal one.
Yeah.
Kind of shocked. Yeah.
Wait, so which are the four? The Golden One, the Ghost, the Shattered Glass.
There's only three so far.
Sure. So you need a solid one.
Yeah, just like a regular Starscream. And something to notice is that he comes with the Power of the Primes hand.
I think you muted yourself. Yeah, you muted yourself.
Your toy fell on your keyboard. Yeah,
it did. I was saying he
see, what happened
the,
was you dropped the toy, and it hit the keyboard.
It just comes with the Power of the Primes connector instead of a Combiner Wars one. And his big brother came along with him.
That's the one I want.
This is a really nice toy.
What did you pay for that one?
More than I should have, because I had a friend in Japan get him. He bought
more
him off.
$180?
In the end, it was probably right around there. I was trying to get them for a little cheaper, but so my friend, his moniker is Professor Smooth out in Japan. He ordered these. He was nice enough to order these for me off the Takara Tomy Mall, and then he went to the store on Friday, and there they were on the shelf for less than you could buy them on the website.
Wow.
But he was pretty pissed about that. So was I. But so those are pretty cool, but here's a kind of an eccentric thing I got recently this is going to require some explanation. It's Occupy Cybertron Shockwave, which is a Sucklord bootleg toy. It's a kind of a art house figure from this dude in New York that did a whole like an art show a few years ago called Occupy Cybertron.
Is that the guy? Does he take like Star Wars figures too and does something similar?
He does. Yeah, he kind of makes them really counterculture in a way.
Yeah, post a link to that on the Facebook page or something. So
and there's like a little documentary about him as well.
He's a crazy dude, and he's been on a few reality shows, like perpetuating his Sucklord persona and stuff. And he's a really interesting character that I've grown to kind of follow. And not all his stuff is my cup of tea, but he did a few Transformers related things that I've tried to pick up over the years, and I have almost all of them now. But what he has is a 1%er Megatron figure, which you can see the size of this. This is like an Action Master mold. The Megatron figure is like a big, like a 12-inch G.I. Joe with a Masterpiece Megatron head on him, wearing a suit, and it's really crazy and awesome, and I've never seen a piece of that in real life. I think there's only 10. But, you know, it's not for everybody because it's definitely not official. It's not third party.
Yeah, that's an art piece.
Yeah, I call it art.
It's not something you really open.
Yeah, that would be pretty stupid to open it. But, yeah, okay. Just kind of a funny, weird thing. And it was rare to see one on eBay, and I snatched it up.
So, all right, so who goes next, Duran or Robert?
We'll let Robert, since he got his one item of doom.
But yeah, obviously, like, if you saw the show at TFCon, you know, I got my Grandis. He's out of the box at the moment with all his good
looks
stuff
like
on
there. Looks like he's yellow from the last time I saw it.
No. yeah, if you don't know what Grandis is, he was a Tellin G1. I think technically he's released under Zone.
Go buy my book and it'll tell you all about Grandis.
But yeah, you know, Japanese only. He's a big-ass brick. He's a Micromaster base, which is his main function. So he opens up
the original bread box.
Yeah. Yeah. So that he is my last G1 mold that I didn't have. So like some Japanese repaints I don't have that I don't know if I'll go for or not. But yeah,
he's got a really cool feature. You know, he hooks up to Star Convoy.
Yep, he's got a bunch of ramps, just like a bunch of other Micromaster ramps. Oh yeah, they can push along. Yeah, with his little.
Yeah.
Yep. Aside from him, I got a few other typical things. I saw someone in our chat had gotten some of them. Tekatron, you know, I got Savant.
Mm-hmm.
And like Bobby's, but not like yours, Duran, my left arm is kind of floppy.
After the first transformation, mine went floppy too.
Did it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it holds right there sometimes, but
that's a problem for a lot of men.
Yeah.
With their Savant.
But other than that, I don't know. He's really sharp. XTB is really up their game. And then got Flip Out as well, who again, absolutely love. I love what they're doing with their Stunicon set. Looking forward to those being finished.
I am almost thinking that I want to get a second set just to have one of them out by themselves and then one combined into Menasor.
It's everything I can do not to buy the G2 repaints they're doing. Mm-hmm. And
I really love this guy. He's my favorite out of all of them. And I kind of just want to get another one of him to keep, you know, I don't need the other four.
He's just fun to transform. He's easy.
He's the most accurate out of all of them, but he's a lot of fun.
And then the last thing that came in while I was out at TFCon was Anime Prowl.
Ooh.
So got that in finally, which, you know, it's, what mold is that? You've got like 8 of them. You know what it is. But yeah, looks sharp. I'm all about the cartoon accuracy. So
where'd you get that from?
I can't remember. I think Show Z maybe. I'm not sure.
Do you get the other ones, like the plus ones? Like, did you get the side swipe with the?
I did, but then I got rid of it to get the bad cube. So yeah, when it comes to G1. I will keep buying the tiny upgrades that are more cartoon accurate as they go along. That's like the only area I'll make that sacrifice for, you know, to keep swapping out.
The Wheeljack's not out yet, right? The plus Wheeljack
plus, no, it's not.
Not yet.
It took them forever to even announce it. Like, we've been waiting for that for years to be announced, you know, but I'm happy it's coming. Need to get rid of my other Wheeljack now.
Yeah, I fully expect them to repaint the hell out of Sunstreaker too. We're gonna get red. We're gonna get a black one.
Have they said anything about when Hound will be released? I'm assuming early next year.
We don't
have
any dates on anything yet.
We don't even have an MP number on that, I don't think.
I mean, I'm expecting Prime and Hound and Wheeljack to all be next year, but you know, nothing's come out in Figure King magazine or whatever it's called yet. That, you know, where we usually find out when that stuff's gonna release. But yeah.
All right.
Yeah, for me.
Well, some of my stuff I've actually put in the display, and I was able to grab a couple things out that was handy. But I, too, like Rob, I got an X-Transbot Savant. I love him. He's a great figure. Looks great in both modes. But like I said, he does have that issue. If you watched Bobby Skullface's review, he complained about the left arm. It's a tension joint, and it has trouble staying up. Now, mine is not bad.
It's not tension. It's a ratchet.
Oh, is it a ratchet?
Yeah, it's because like I can still feel the ratchet on both of them, and it's only, you know, the going up.
Hmm.
Yeah,
there's a ratchet in there. You can definitely feel it. And I don't know if the teeth are worn down on one side or if it just wasn't, you know, molded properly so it doesn't catch at the top. Because, like, once it's up in the upper arc, it holds its position fine.
Yeah.
It's in the down. It's not hitting the teeth on the ratchet. It's missing them.
Yeah, because mine, it gets to about like right here and a little bit higher than that's whenever it falls down. And then it'll catch, like, right there again. But aside from that, that is the only issue I had with it. I know a lot of people bitch about the face on it, that it's so plain and boring. It's like, well, it's Skids. I mean, what do you expect?
Before IDW, Skids was pretty plain and boring.
Yeah.
The only thing I have is that the mold on the face, it's soft. The mouth is really soft looking. Like, it's not detailed for some reason. I don't know what that's about, but I suspect there's been enough complaints about the face that a future XTB release will have probably alternate, have some replacement faces.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Flip Out had one for Crackup.
And then, along with a lot of people, I just on the offhand chance that I could unload it, I took my X-Transbots Elegos with me to TFCon. I put it out on the table there at Captured Prey. It was complete, everything in the box. Good friend Rob Milton of the Realm of Collectors, shout out to a lot of you that that were there, got to meet a lot of you. He bought it, and then I in turn took that money and, I mean, literally a minute later turned around and bought Fans Toys Quietus, and I do not regret it. Now, Elegos was great. Had I never sold him and I missed out on Quietus, I would have been happy with him. He's just not fun to transform because of his knees.
Quietus is.
I actually have no problems with Quietus. Quietus.
I think you're probably the one person. I haven't got my Quietus yet, but.
Yeah, that gets old.
I mean, pretty much everybody is. Yeah, that toy is miserable again, which is kind of par the course for Fans Toys Engineering.
I mean, he's not without his issues. I mean, what toy isn't? But he looks gorgeous in both modes. I mean, the metallic shiny paint that they used all over that toy, they nailed the sculpt on it. I don't think you could ask for a better Cyclonus, really.
So I have the Elegos. Super happy with it.
Yeah.
It's, and I was too. Somewhere we're doing construction again in the vault, so everything's packed up. So this is literally the only thing that I have out right now. So my roommate John got it at the convention, and it's got the IDW version where you can switch the head, and it's got the sword. And for that alone, now I need to get that, because that to me is like, it's like a plus version. You know, now
you
I
need
have
to get two
Elegos.
Of them. One to have the.
But
the
I have
G1.
The Elegos, which is fine. That's my G1 guy. I need the Quietus for the IDW version, the IDWA version.
See, it doesn't work for me. I love the IDW verse, but, you know, and obviously, especially James Roberts stuff. But if I want an IDW Cyclonus, you got to go all in and, you know, top to bottom. I think it's a cool accessory, but, like, that doesn't work for me.
It's staying in the box for me.
It's a reason to justify me spending that money to buy a masterpiece of a figure I already have.
And he even has the hip skirts to put on for the scabbards on the swords.
Now,
what do you want, Rob?
What's that?
You want a full on IDW masterpiece, Rob?
Not masterpiece. I would honestly expect. I mean, MMC's already made their IDW Cyclonus, but I would expect them something. MMC makes my IDW figures for the most part, so, like, I would expect it, like, kind of from them, because, you know, they've done the DJD, you got an Rodimus. I think the only toys up there that aren't MMC are, like, Make Toys. You know, they did Swerve, and they did Tailgate, you know. So, and they, MMC's, or Make Toys, did the add-on kit for, I don't know, was it Hinke or one of those Cyclonuses to make it look kind of like the IDW one. But it's not quite there.
It's kind of small.
Yeah.
So, if there's a masterpiece, God, what is his name? The savant, what is his name? Skids. If there's a IDW masterpiece Skids that comes out, does that replace your savant, or does that go?
It goes on my IDW shelf. have G1MP shelves and my IDW shelf.
And where does your MMC stuff go? Is that Generations, or do you put that with Masterpiece?
It's its own shelf. It goes with itself.
Yeah, I lump all my MMC stuff with my Generations guys, just because that's how they're, you know, I love comics, so I try to make as many fits. Comic shelves as possible.
It would go on my Cyclonus shelf, personally.
Do you have a Cyclonus shelf?
I have a Cyclonus bin at this moment, but not a shelf at this moment, no.
Was that Lucas? What were you going to say?
I was going to say that some of the Generations figures do go with the MMC stuff, but it's kind of like hit or miss on what does and doesn't. But I was going to say, I was wondering with that Quietus, like, would he go with any of the MMC stuff? Or do you think it would just be a completely different aesthetic? I would need to put it on a different
shelf.
He's
a bit big, I would think, for like,
MMC. That's a big Masterpiece. That's a big, large Masterpiece. He's like twice the height of a car, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's big. He's taller than any Galvatron out there.
I'd say he's at least MP10 in height. He's not MP10 in bulk, but he's MP10 in height. And then in plane mode, Quietus is... Seth's getting old. Please stop that. I'd say he's maybe Masterpiece Seeker size.
Did that figure come with a little Galvatron to put in the cockpit?
It did not. That was a disappointment, because I know Elegos came with one.
Oh, okay.
But he did not. He did have the... Now, unless there was one in the box.
Does the cockpit open?
Yes, the cockpit does open, and it does have like a little hole where one comes.
No excuse for them not to put it in there.
I've heard that the canopy doesn't close.
If you transform it right, it will. But it's that's what everybody's complaining about with him, is that he's I know I didn't give you the opportunity that everybody's complaining that he's so finicky to transform, and yes, he is finicky, but I really don't find him any more finicky than some other toys, so that I enjoy a lot, but yeah, he is probably one of my top five third-party toys now of all time. I absolutely love him. He's gorgeous. Let's see here. What else did I get? Oh, I did get Flip Out, the X-Transbots Flip Out, the Wild Rider. There were several dealers there had them early. I don't think he was actually due out till like next week or something other at some retailers. But some of them did have him in stock there, and I'm like, well, I could either wait till Captor Prey gets them in stock, or I could get them now. So I chose to get them now. So I'm impatient, you know. Plus, he was $60.
That was a nice surprise to get there at the con and find out that both, you know, Savant and Flip Out were there. Completely unexpected.
Yeah, I was actually, whenever we packed the van up for in the trailer for Captured Prey the day before we left for TFCon, I looked up and I saw he had Quietus and Elegos. And I'm like, wow, I'm amazed. And dude, I swear, if you do that one more time, I will mute you the rest of the show. But if, you know, I mean, I saw that he had them, and I'm like, I can't believe you've got these in already. Everybody else is saying they won't have them at the show. Of course, there was several that actually had them both, but it was a pleasant surprise to see at TFCon.
So we've talked about our wallet.
Well, I'm not done yet. Not done yet.
Oh my God.
Not done yet.
Jeez.
I said one thing. I could have gone on.
Well, there's two really big things that I wanted to talk about.
All right.
And you cut me off after the Cyclonus. So it's like I didn't get to finish. But yeah, the smaller of the two big things is something I did not know even existed. And I have Megamus to thank for pointing it out to me. Azusa was actually at TFCon, and he had a little bin of stuff there. And in that bin was this. And I didn't even know this existed, but it is a vintage Kabaya Weird Wolf still sealed in the bag, still on the sprues.
Wow.
And
very nice.
I could not pass this up. You know, I have everything Weird Wolf. Now I have one more thing that is official in Weird Wolf. And even though they molded the Kabayas in weird colors back then, he's kind of like a cream colored and red and black is the colors. That's
Duran. That's huge. You pretty much can own the market on the Weird Wolf character collection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because those Kabayas are like the absolute hardest thing to find.
Yeah. Well,
on the 81 list.
Yeah. He had it there sealed. Orson keeps telling me I should open it and assemble it. And I'm like, no.
Get a second one. Get a second one.
Good luck for that.
Well, we should open it, make a mold of it, make a casting of it. And then you assemble the casting. And we do it in a whole bunch of colors. And we give them out at conventions as a TFYOP, like, thing. Like,
I would need a second. I would need a second one for that. Now, he did have a sealed one there in the box, but I did not know that the Kabayas back then were also blind box like they are today. Well, they're sort of blind box. There's a little hole in the back, and you can see a number in through the hole. And if you look on the side of the box, each one of the Kabayas that are listed on the side are numbered. And the one that happened to be in the Weird Wolf box was a Brainstorm. So I actually bought that one first, thinking it was the Weird Wolf.
Weird Wolf was just the character that they used for the
box art. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Or for that particular series, I guess. I don't know. And whenever I realized it, I took it back. I asked Azusa if I could actually swap, and he's like, no swap. I don't think he fully understood what I was trying to do. It's not like I was, but Orson knows him a little bit better. Went over there and got the swap done because they were both the same price, and all's right with the world. The last big thing I do want to mention that I got there, it was something that has been on my radar for a number of years. And, I got to thank Will Kenny for helping me out with this, because I would not get a G1 Lyokaiser unless I could obtain this particular piece, simply because everybody knows that G1 Killbison is known for GPS. I mean, he's like all gold plastic. Well, if you look closely at this one, if you're watching the video, this is actually the Chinese/Taiwanese package release. It is official. It's the Takara. But the great thing about this piece is that the plastic, even though it's goldish in color, it's slightly off from the original Killbison that was released a couple years prior. In Japan, the one that was released in Japan is most certainly gold plastic. This one here is more of a brownish gold. It still has the swirls, but it doesn't crumble like it did. I actually took this one out, transformed it, no problems. It's not. It doesn't feel brittle at all. It's a gorgeous piece. Stickers unapplied. And I got this one as the first leg. No pun intended, /pun intended, I guess. First leg of my journey to get a complete vintage Lyokaiser.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that I saw that you bought that.
I would never
it
get.
It seems very random for you to buy a piece like that.
Well, it's not. It's something that's on my. It's Lyokaiser's always been on my want list, but I never pursued one because I knew he had GPS. I was never going to sink the money, that much money that a Lyokaiser commands, into a toy that could potentially just crumble by standing on my shelf. I think that's a waste. I know a lot of people is like, well, I got to have that version. More power to you. But I want something that I can enjoy, that if I feel like picking it up and messing with it, I can. And this one, It's in every way identical to the Japanese release, except for the type of plastic it's made out of. And
so I got a question about it. So how are you going to proceed going forward now that you have this Taiwanese version? Because if there's plastic difference in that, there's quite possible the rest of them have, you know, little differences.
No,
so
no, it's it actually Brycey that Bryce Rutledge, he's been on the show before. He has the Chinese version of Kill Bison on his Lion Kaiser. In every other way is identical to the Japanese version. It connects. It has no issues connecting with the other Japanese versions of Lion Kaiser.
So the origin doesn't matter to you.
Origin doesn't matter.
In the box, like if you have mixed masked boxes or whatever, that's.
I would prefer the Japanese boxes, but but this one here, I mean, and the only difference between the because Will actually had the Japanese version boxed alongside this one. That's how I was able to. I slid them out in the styrofoam and held them up side by side, and you can just look at the differences. But the box itself. The only difference is the shade of the ink, which could be explained by fading color, you know, with age, and also the writing is Chinese instead of Japanese. That is the only difference.
That logo is pretty wildly different. I've actually never seen that.
Yeah, it's Chinese, not Japanese.
That's cool.
But yeah, on the back, awesome. I mean, you can tell. I mean, it's everything. Everything's the same. It just
enough. To me, that would be a huge major difference. That's like a completely new release of that figure. So, but I'm an anal.
And well, guy. It's a lot of people don't even know about it. I mean, I didn't even find out about it until a couple of years ago. Brycey told me about, there's a Chinese, because I told him I want a Lyle Kaiser, but I wasn't going to get it because of the GPS. Same thing with the Monstructor. I never owned a Monstructor because of Slog. I'm not going to pay $500+ for a combiner just to have it crumble to dust on my shelf. Black Zarek, same excuse. You know, I would love to have Black Zarek. I love those colors, love his design. Too much GPS.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of figures from that end of the line that are up in the Chinese packaging, which are not as uncommon as you would think. God, who are the six guys again? That combined 45 different ways.
Oh, Landcross?
Landcross, yes. Landcross, I think there's also a gift set of all six together in the Chinese package as well. Don't quote me on that.
Now, I mean, like I said, though, a lot of people aren't even aware this even exists. And the mere fact that these are out there, and the people that do know about them, want them for the same reason that I got this one. You know, just to have a Lyle Kaiser that you could set on the shelf and then not come in there the next day and it's laying down on the side because Kill Bison just went like that, you know. He actually fetches a good price by himself. I'm afraid to admit I paid $330 for this one. He's not cheap. For what's essentially a basic, you know, in size, or a legend size figure. Well, he's probably a basic.
That is $9 less than what I paid for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matches the.
But he's level. Met. He's letting me make. Yeah. He's letting me make payments on it too. So that's. But the thing is that. I've got it. I can start my Lyle Kaiser now. He actually had five of the Lyle Kaiser bots. He didn't have Hellbat, I think. And they're all just like this, all except for the Japanese version. They're all in box, I believe, stickers unapplied, complete. I'm going to try to get those off of him and then see if I can locate a Hellbat that's also in the box. And he will probably, I mean, I'll put him with my Deathsaurus and I'll have Deathsaurus, I have Road Caesar, and then a Lyle Kaiser. I might as well finish Victory while I'm at it.
Yeah. Well, we wish you luck on your journey.
Yeah. I'm excited. Just knowing this has happened. I never dreamed that I would actually have this piece and now I have it. So. And it was it blew me away that he had it on the sale table. I saw him put it out, and I'm like, "Is that what I think it is?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I thought about it all weekend. And on Sunday, I walked over to him. I said, man, just, I understand if you say no, but I said, can you help me out on this? I said, would you let me make payments on it? And I said, I want the Kill Bison first. He says, for you, sure. I'm like, this is it.
I got a gift set Leo Kaiser complete for just a little over what you paid for that one piece.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think, but it was a few years back.
How long did you, you know, I remember back in the days of eBay when it was innocent, I bought a sealed Overlord for $300, you know, back when eBay was young and
it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I bought it from Andrew Kernan. Got it. He had two of them for sale and I bought one of them. Yeah. I think
he had them for sale.
$400. Yeah, it was for sale, but I think this was probably around 2010, 2011, maybe something like that. Hard to remember.
But yeah. What was I going to say?
All right. Well, TFCon.
Yes, TFCon.
Hour 22 minutes later.
No, we're only 50 minutes into TF into the show. So.
Well, I'm in a different time zone, so you know. So the big news at TFCon was that after years of people begging for it, TFCon's going to Los Angeles. That's pretty big. I will definitely be there. What are the dates? March 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Yeah, it was really soon.
Yeah, in just, 5 months. But you know what? I think we're going to see a different crowd there. I know not every dealer is going to be able to go. I don't believe Captured Prey is attending.
I will not be there because I don't have the vacation time. It's too soon. So
yeah, I hadn't been to a convention since TFCon North Carolina, so I was a little hesitant to go. And everyone was really nice. Everyone was super supportive of me, and I felt bad because I didn't realize how many books I should bring to sell. I've never, ever have set up at a TF convention before to sell books. And I've never sold at the conventions I had set up at, I'd never sold more than 4 books. So I only brought 24 books with me just to make like a nice display. And I planned my flight home around going to FedEx and mailing all the books I didn't sell back. And I sold out of books in the first 3 hours. It was crazy. I've never experienced that before. Yeah.
I came by to get one, and you were gone, and just said no more books.
I felt bad. I could have sold like 200 books. You know, not that I make a whole lot of money off those. I buy them from my publisher, and then there is a slight markup, but I keep them at the same price as Amazon. It was, just the feedback I got from people and letting them know that I'm working on something else now is I felt very good. And Duran, of course, did the cover, and everyone. Complained about how bad it looked, and oh my god, put that away, Paul.
First printing.
That crappy cover and all the crappy photos on the inside.
I like how you make the same joke about Fort Max twice in the book.
I have no, I don't know
about this is why your girlfriend is with you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Never mind. It's a great book.
20 years ago.
He doesn't 20 remember. Years ago, man. I was in high school. I didn't know my left hand from my right hand.
Hey, it was before its time.
Back when eBay was innocent. Yeah. Back when eBay was innocent. So, well, thank you for the support, Paul. I had a great time. And I think next time I got to bring one of my kids, not to LA because it's going to be a long trip. And I can't stand sitting next to my kids for that long. So, yeah, especially on a plane.
With snakes.
So, I'll definitely be in LA, and I hope to go to TF Nation. I really want to go. I really want to go pick up some European swag, get some European licensed goods.
I need to get a passport before I even consider doing that.
So,
yeah, so far, I think Rick, you're the only person I know that's going to TFCon LA. Most of the crew.
I know Colin's going to be there.
Colin
Douglas.
The guy that throws TFCon.
Oh, well, yeah. And Ryan. Sheehy will be there, I'm sure, you know, some of those. But most people I know are said they're probably bowing out, both for how quick it is and how far it is. So I'm probably more than likely not going to, but the rumor mill is that they're going to be throwing three shows next year instead of two. There's L.A., there's Toronto, obviously, and then they're going to be doing one in the fall on the East Coast. That's we'll the rumor see, mill. Let's
not talk about that. Listen, what we do know is that there's going to be a G1 voice cast reunion at TFCon. So he hasn't said who's going to be there, but you know it's L.A. A lot of these people live in that area. It's going to be real easy to get a lot of those people there. So could you imagine how many people from the cast are going to be there? I mean, it's going to be insane.
Well, but those people aren't cheap either.
Some of them won't take a lot to get there either. Cause I know, the last time BotCon was in Pasadena, Paul Eiding actually dropped by as a fan. He wasn't even a guest and he dropped by as a fan. That was really awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guillermo del Toro stopped by one BotCon. His daughter was a fan. She loved Transformers Animated. So, I got to let him in and, she got to see everything and, she was really cool. And Aaron gave her the Blitzwing out of the Hasbro case because she didn't have an animated Blitzwing. Yeah, Pretty sure she could afford one, but she didn't have one at the time. So
I saw that photo on Aaron Archer's Instagram the other day of him and Guillermo.
I took that picture.
Hey.
Yeah, no, Guillermo was really cool. I even got to talk to him in Spanish a little bit. He was really, that was back when he was directing The Hobbit.
But I thought you were mostly Italian, Rick.
Yeah, but I speak Spanish, you ignorant bastard.
Just trying to do a joke. Jeez. I'm an ignorant bastard now.
Stick to truck driving.
I'm just an ignorant bastard.
All right, so out of the five of us here, am I the only one that plans on definitely being there?
Yes.
Probably.
Lucas?
I want to go. I'm trying to convince my wife. It's like, let's do a Disney trip and, you know, TFCon, but...
Perfect.
And it is over my kids' spring break, so it's kind of lining up other than the money thing. So.
Dude, look at all that money you got behind you on those shows.
Just sell that stuff.
You want? Send me a list. I'll take a look. Maybe I can help you out there, buddy.
The date is too close to DairyCon for me. I can't swing two Transformer events in like 4 weeks.
So that's another one I've never been to. That's been around for maybe has it been 10 years since that's
oh wait around? Dude, like 20. It's crazy how long it's been going on.
So how many people go to DairyCon?
Maybe 100, including the dealers. But it is a unique experience, and I can't miss it.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. I think there's like one hotel or something. But
and the con is at that hotel.
It's actually at a place, I shit you not, it's called the Cow Palace right now. And it's on like a fairgrounds. And you know, their whole thing is cows and dairy and stuff. So it's
do they have like blue ribbons for like who has the best cow at DairyCon?
No.
Like, do people show up at DairyCon thinking like it's something else, and they're like, "What the fuck are all these toys? Where's the goddamn cow?"
When I tell people I'm going to DairyCon, they get really confused. They're like, what are you doing?
Aren't you lactose intolerant?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, they do have jump starter and Triptychon races there. So that's, you know, kind of unique and strange and awesome at the same time. It's a really weird thing. I can, you know, this year when I go, I'll give you guys a debrief, let you know how it goes.
How far a drive is that for you?
I think it's like 3.5 hours.
Fred Bork asked me the last convention. It wasn't at this convention. It was the last TFCon that I went to in Chicago. He asked me if I would come to a dairy con, and I said, well, I'm waiting for the moment to move me.
Bet he loved that.
Yeah.
it's a really fun time, but I wouldn't like travel crazy distances for it. I think you might be really disappointed. Like 3 hours is just enough. And there's like $10 dealer tables. So like, why not?
I feel like I'm gonna remember you saying that when I'm on the toilet the next time. Like, like something bad's gonna happen to me because you said that.
So you're, all because you're having a bowel movement. Well, let's move on to the next topic here. Everybody's like,
please be quiet.
All right, TFCon, our experiences TFYLP, and
the TFYLP drinking game.
Yes.
You know, we do That's What She Said. We do the holiday show, right? We need to do a TFYLP, a TFLIP drinking show where we all take a shot when somebody says the magic word or something. Like every time,
or we could just go to Hofbrau House and get spanked by a Fraulein again. Oh wait, that was, yeah. But you know, it's a shame Sergio's not on this episode, because one of the worst yet best moments of TFCon involves Sergio getting hammered and everything. And we were at Gene and Jude's just down the road from the hotel. He crashes, you know, because you know he's the happy drunk, and then he becomes
he's the sad drunk.
He's
a younger guy, yes. On the show, right?
He had a little too much tequila.
Yeah, I used to get drunk at shows. Yeah, I'm 39 now, man. I'm too old to, you know, so, one glass of wine and I'm out now.
So that night, I actually went up to Sergio's room when he was drinking, and he made me two of them, and I had those two plus one other drink later, and I think he said he had drank four or five of those tequila drinks. And, like, I'm much bigger than Sergio. And again, at two of them, I was like, after I gave it time to sit in, I was
buzzing.
I was very well buzzing. Then my last drink, like, and that was all I had for the night. And I was very happily drunk the rest of the night.
Yeah. He,
and like, and he had four or five of those in a short amount of time.
He was sloshed.
I drank with him at PFCon as well. The exclusive premiere Chicago convention, not TFCon. It's PFCon. And he did the same thing there where he drank too much early on, and then he went and passed out on the couch, and he's out the rest of the night.
Yeah,
he just, a young man needs to learn.
Yes, well,
we've all had those experiences.
What was great about this? Not so great for Sergio. Not so great for Sergio. I gotta say this, but on the way back from Gene and Jude's, Orson was driving. I was in the passenger seat up front. Sergio was behind me, and next to him was Nick Giangara. From Big Ten Robot, and behind him was Jason, his helper, in the back bench seat. Well, before we left Gina Jude's, Orson gave him a big white garbage bag. It was that just in case. Well, we hadn't much more pulled out of the parking lot till Sergio, his head was up against the window. He was out. Out. Well, we get maybe a block from the hotel. We can see the hotel, and all of a sudden we hear him. He goes, "Guys, I don't feel so good." And all of a sudden, he starts yurking in this bag. And he keeps going until we get into the parking lot. We pull up, and who's standing outside the front but our good man Paul here. I get out of the passenger seat, open up the van and the side of the van, and out pops Sergio with his giant overfilled bag of puke and hands it to Paul. Paul's like, "What do I want with this?" Runs over to the garbage can. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've never been that drunk on a show.
But just the visual of Sergio popping out of the van with a over full bag of vomit handing it off.
Children.
Yeah.
Children.
So Robert, were you guys in our room after that or before that with Sergio?
That was after, when like the rest of us, we kind of, cause Sergio had went off with film But then, like me, Grant, and a few other guys stayed at the hotel, and then we came down and we ended up in your room, like hanging out and just being loud and drunk.
Right. So, I mean, so he rallied. I will tell you that. I mean, he was going off about Giordano's and how bad it was, but, you know, other than that, it seemed like he was, I mean, he was definitely drunk, but he did not throw up on our room. I can confirm that, so...
I mean, I feel bad for Sergio. I mean, but at the same time, that is a story that will go down in con lore. Sergio getting too drunk too soon. And then Lexi coming in and giving him hell for doing so. But then, Rob, do you want to impart the story of Pequod's? You were there.
That was fun. Yeah. I think Orson named her best in some, I don't know, random Facebook thread, but Maleficent. We got there, and I've eaten at Pequod's before. It wasn't that location, but when me and my wife went out to Chicago in the summer, and I asked Paul, I was like, you know, y'all hear about Chicago pizza, where should I go? And he's like, you need to get down to Pequod's. So, you know, we got there, and we ate, and we liked it. But we get there, and there was a crew of about 10 of us. And, you know, when you come in with a group, it's usually always like it's a hell if at the end you're like, oh, we need to split. Like, seriously, who goes in a group and pays at once? I don't understand. Anyways, and so, you know, I tried to – like only a couple people, she'd gotten a couple drinks. And I was just like, yo, just so you know, we're going to need our ticket split. And she about ripped my head off. She was just like, that's not how we do it here. We'll deal with it later. Like, shit.
Whatever.
I don't get it. I don't get why that's the way Chicago works. I mean, everyone has point of sale systems for this exact purpose, but in Chicago, we're all assholes about this. And I've never run a restaurant, so I can't, you know.
Well, I mean, she could have just said, don't worry about it, we'll deal with it later.
She was probably the least friendly waitress I've ever had. She was not nice at all.
There was a really bad waitress at the bar at Murray's Caddy Shack.
There was a really awesome waitress at the bar at Caddyshack.
There were two nice ones that I encountered, but there was one who's like, what do you have to drink? And then she walked away. Like, she left. Like, what? What the fuck? What happened?
I would like to place my drink order.
Yeah. Long story short, that was pretty much it for the night. The whole time, just couldn't get water, couldn't get drinks. You know,
heaven forbid if you ask her for a freaking refill.
Yeah, I went and got somebody else to get me some water, and they were nice, and you know, it was fine. But yeah.
So
yeah.
For anyone listening, if you've never been to TFCon, you get pizza, puke, and bad waitresses, and it's not about the toys.
It's about what you made. All right.
Obviously about the toys because we talked about that for about 40 minutes.
About 50.
Every year, all of us decide to go on a vacation together. All of us and 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 of our friends all decide, hey, let's meet here at this one place. We all like Transformers. We're all going to hang out, hug, eat, drink, talk toys. It's a family reunion, basically. But it happens every year without fail. Some of us don't always make it. Some of us get married and go away until the next marriage. Some of us have kids and, you know, we...
It's all about
we have a funeral for them.
And, it's all about the experiences, though. Not just at the show, but after the show's hours are over, the things that you do, you know, sitting around messing with toys in the room, and you know, I saw Sergio and Christian Russell sitting there. Christian had literally four Power of the Prime Infernos. All out transformed, and then Sergio was sitting there trying to transform Unique Toys Challenger. Is it DX9 or Unique Toys Challenger? The AOE Prime, the third party AOE Prime. That's so freaking gorgeous. He was trying to transform it while everyone else in the room is trying to get hammered.
you know what I find is interesting is like, newcomers will not have this experience we're talking about. You have to have a few of these under your belt before you feel comfortable enough to like go hang out in some random person's room and like, you know, exchange money. It's just an interesting dynamic.
That's exactly it. You know, I met a few people and I asked them, I'm like, they looked a little green. And I asked them, is this your first convention? And I said, listen, don't spend all your time in the dealer room. go out, go to a panel, go look at the third party stuff, hang out in the lobby. Don't spend all your time here.
Go to my panel.
Buy my book, go to my panel, and while you're there, pick me up some lunch.
And I think I mentioned, you know, one of the mistakes I made at my first convention, which was BotCon 06, is I just stayed in the dealer room the whole time. You know, I didn't really hang out with anybody too much. Oh, I didn't really know anybody. You can't at the beginning. You know, and I did it wrong. There's a way to do them wrong.
We must have brushed elbows so many times. Because I spent the whole time in the dealer room too. I didn't know what I was doing. That was my first one as well.
But that's the thing. I was going to say, that's the thing that's nice about conventions. As you go through it through the years, you know, like, okay, the first couple of years, you're all about the dealer room. And then you're maybe about the panels. And then eventually it turns into, okay, well, I just want to get together with all my friends and all the people that I've, you know, met over the years. So, I mean, that's the thing that's nice, especially about these shows, is that there's something different for everybody.
Yeah.
That's what it's been for me for, I don't know exactly when that turnover happened, probably around like 2010 or so, like, which I didn't make 2010s. Just my dumb daughter decided to be born that Thursday BotCon started. So she's still paying for it. She's going to be paying for it until she moves out. Then when I came back for 2011, yeah, it was just really all about the social aspects. They really dominated the convention in a good way.
Quinturion Rex, yes, there were a few Europeans at the show. I know there was a few from the UK, and I believe there was a couple there from Germany. Did any of you meet the couple from Germany?
No, I had some drinks with Paul and Tim from the UK. Very nice gentlemen. A lot of fun hanging out. It's always nice meeting people from the UK. Mm-hmm. They're always happy to talk to you and have drinks.
Oh, you know, and we're about an hour 15, and I did want to give at least a short synopsis about TFCon itself. I know that's crazy for an episode about TFCon, but for people that haven't been to one before, the dealer room was, I thought, nice and big. You know, I don't know if it was the biggest dealer room ever, but it was as big as
anything that I can remember. It was comfortable.
You know, like, it was a good size. I don't have measurements, so somebody went, well, actually, it's, you know, I don't know what the square footage was. But there was tons of toys, you know, all varieties, you know, G1 up to modern and third party. Everything was there. There's very little, I think, that if you wanted and had the money, you couldn't have found.
I will make an observation about the dealer room and the items available. It did seem that third party was the predominant product available at that show, along with homemade products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from like artists.
Like from Artist Alley?
Yeah, guys who make posters or make towels or little like Beanie Baby type stuff, keychains. It really did seem to me like G1 was almost an afterthought in many of the dealers' heads. And it just...
I think it's because G1's a third party is new product. So, you know, you'll get like Captured Prey that'll have third party and Hasbro mainline stuff, you know, there together. But then you also get stores like Agabus, and Agabus had a large section of the floor space, and they do pretty much just in third party. But then you also had like Transformer Land there, who had an amazing selection of G1 stuff. You know, like, I got my grandest there. They had not one but two Guard Cities. Mm. You know what I mean? They worked it out.
How about that Unicron thing they had?
The knockoff of the, you know, the custom, yeah.
I mean, that caught my eye immediately.
I think it caught a lot of people's eye.
Went to go look at it and completely forgot to. Even then, you still miss stuff.
He said it was not for sale, though. It was just there for display.
He was just, you know, like, people are going to want to see this thing. I totally was glad he brought it.
Yeah.
I talked to him about it for a little bit, but he said it's a repro of the actual prototype. It looks a little bigger than it should be too. So I don't really know.
No, it looked pretty close. I had several of the Unicron prototypes on my desk while I was working at Hasbro. People would be surprised. There's more than you think.
Yeah.
And then at that one convention, what was it? Was it 2009? I brought two of them to the Hasbro display case. That was Pasadena. I had one in robot mode and one in planet mode.
How fragile? But
all of them, they're all incomplete. Very fragile. Yeah, they're all handmade, and they're all incomplete. All of them.
Yeah. And then beyond the dealer room, you know, we used to talk about how like FunPub when they ran BotCon never would a panel start on time. The panels I attended for the most part started on time. If they were like late, it was only like maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and usually it's because the voice actors were busy drinking at the bar and they were like, come on, you need to get to the panel. You know, you can only do so much with that. But the panel room was nice and big. There was plenty of room. It sounded great. The video was great for the panels. I had video. The guests were entertaining. I think the best panel I went to, aside from Rick's, of course, was the writing panel that had James Roberts and Flint Dilley. That was, I don't know, they are such contrasting writing styles, and, you know, very different guests. One's writing comics, and before that, you know, Roberts was writing a lot of fan fiction, so he's written Transformers for a long time in some fashion.
Flint's written a bunch of Transformer comics. He's written a whole bunch of comics.
I'm just ignorant then, but it was still like they work very differently, and it came out and how they, you know, in the answers of questions, but it was a really cool panel. Yeah, panels were great, and it was nice that the panel room was right next to the dealer room. I always love it when that happens to a convention.
You didn't have to go down another set of stairs and then around the corner. And
I remember thinking about like BotCons when it's like, oh man, I want to keep looking here in the dealer room, but I get that thing and I need to leave 15 minutes early. Well, now you can just leave 2 minutes and just get over. You know, you get more time at your convention, less your time walking around.
So I haven't seen any of the comments on my panel because people on the internet are mean.
But there's no bad comments on your panel.
I did think it was good.
It was a very enjoyable panel.
I wasn't asking for you guys to, like, you know, stroke my ego or anything, but
it was a different flavor than the one in North Carolina, I must say, because I was at that one.
it was
a little more lighthearted.
Well, he was fresh off of Hasbro there, and well.
But that panel was awesome too, by the way, retroactively. I loved it.
Colin wanted me to do that panel again, and I'm like, oh, people seem to like not like that type of information.
Oh, I loved it. That was great.
So that's why I didn't prepare anything. I just kind of winged it.
And it was a good show. It was a good panel.
Well, one comment I have about the panel, not yours, Rick, but James's, timing wise, God, I wish that final issue had come out before, because we couldn't talk about anything, you know, like it was such a bummer.
How crazy was that? The whole convention, there was a line. I couldn't get my stuff signed because there was always a line. I met him briefly, and then he was drinking at the bar later.
Oh, really?
I was at, but. Yeah, what a crazy
guy. You know what's crazy? What's crazy is that James Roberts' room, I did not know this, was literally two doors down from ours on our floor. Because the last morning that we were there, I was waiting on Orson and Will to finish getting ready. I was out in the hallway talking to my girlfriend on the phone, and I saw him come out of the door two doors down with a suitcase, and walk by, and I'm like, you were just two doors down.
You could have knocked and go, housekeeping.
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 Yeah. But incidentally though, I meant to mention this earlier. Rick, do you remember whenever we were walking to your panel? And there was a cosplayer that was passed out there on the floor from fatigue.
Yeah, the one that I kicked.
Yeah.
Was she face down?
She was face down.
And yeah. I just wanted like a proof of life.
Yeah.
So I just walked up and like kicked her.
I did not know. I did not find this out until later. But that actually was an original TFYLP cast member, Natsumi Ryo. The one, if you listen to the audio version of the podcast, she's the audio track doing the sponsors at the start of the audio version of the podcast right now. So wow. Yeah, she,
well, speaking of sponsors, she was there. Don't we have some?
Yeah. You want to do them? Actually, I always do them. On the spot.
All right. Great prices, great toys, Captured Prey, CapturedPrey.com. He's got a lot of great toys and great products at great prices.
And he gives you great service, too.
And he has the what is it, Stasis Pod?
Yes.
So, like, you buy a bunch of stuff, and he just keeps it at his house so your wife doesn't find out about it. And then when your wife's out of town, you tell him, mail it, and he mails it to you so that it gets there when your wife's not there and you can hide all your things. So Stasis Pod at Capture Prey, pretty good.
You can time it just right.
That's a super healthy way to run your relationship with
or you can just send it to a friend's house and then go pick it up whenever your wife's not looking.
You're right, Robert. I should not ignore half the fandom. This send it so when your mom's out of town, it gets there without your mom not knowing that it's there. Okay.
And then whenever she comes into the room and say, "Do you have more toys than you had before?" No, these are totally the ones I had before.
Get out of my room, Mom. This is my trash.
You don't understand me.
Some money missing from my purse.
And
shh, quiet.
Go buy my book at Amazon.com. The unofficial guide to vintage Transformers, 1980s to 1990s. There's a whole bunch of books I've written.
There's a coupon code. Yeah,
we have a coupon code for Ripped Apparel as well.
Yeah.
Ripped
Apparel. Come on.
Yeah. Ripped Apparel. That's right. Ripped Apparel, where I send you my old shirts.
Ripped Apparel. Ripped Apparel. It's the new website.
It's Ripped Apparel. I send you shirts that don't fit me because I'm cultivating muscle mass.
And they all happen to be in your bosoms.
No, I got the trainer going. She's heavy weights all day long, man. All day, every day.
But yeah, if you go to Ripped Apparel, use the promo code TFYLPPOD, save 10% on your order. And if you love what we do here on TFYLP, there's a link right up here at the top of the screen. I don't think it's clickable, but you can follow that link at patreon.com/TFYLP and help us out each and every month. It helps cover server fees. It helps cover upgrades, buying new software, helping castmates get stuff. Without your help, TFYLP could not continue, bottom line. And I have to say, absolutely, bar none, thank you to each and every TFYLP supporter out there. If you follow the TFTalk.net Facebook page, you saw us actually reward the one of our Patreons, Carrie. She was at TFCon, and she was the highest Patreon tier. And at that time, whenever she did the highest Patreon tier, she was entitled to a sealed Beast Machine Supreme Class Cheetor autographed by our very own Headmaster Don, which she actually received at TFCon. And she also had $25 credit with Captured Prey. We got her picture taken with myself and Peter.
She took a picture with me too, by the way.
Well, with this Supreme Class Cheetor.
And her mom, Francine.
Yes. Absolutely wonderful person. And thank you, Carrie, for continuing to support TFYLP. We love you, hon. Also, TFCon USA. Do you have any other comments on the show? I mean, is there something else that we have not covered that you think we absolutely, Lucas?
Yeah. So I just want to say, so TFCon is really known for the third party. I know Rick had mentioned that before, but a big part of that is they do have a third party panel, and it wasn't that great this year. They also have a lot of the prototypes for the upcoming third-party figures in the cases. And so that's one of the reasons I really like to go is to be able to kind of see a lot of those up close. And then a lot of the stores also have, the figures out and displayed in really cool poses and whatnot too. So it kind of, gets you to – to buy a lot of those third-party figures as well. So
it's a shame the Machine Robo. I know the Chosen Prime had a bunch of them there. They actually sent me a box to bring over of all the painted ones, and it didn't get here until after I had it got here like Monday when I came back from TFCon.
I would say my favorite prototype was that new company doing the Transmetal 2 Megatron.
Yes.
That thing is huge, and can't wait to see it colored in person.
And it's even more screen accurate than Megadoragon, isn't it?
Oh, Megadoragon's not screen accurate at all.
Oh, yeah. Know,
it's perfect effect style. And, I mean, it's a very impressive display piece. This guy is also massive, but looks the part. So.
I think he's 275. I think the pre-orders just went up for him.
Wow.
He's going to be expensive.
But it's going to look amazing next to that Shinborg Dinobot.
Incidentally, didn't pre-orders for Fans Hobby's Double Evil, the Overlord, recently go up? And it surprised me that it, as big as that toy is, it's sub 200. So,
wait, is it?
Yes.
I don't
it's 189 direct from Fans Hobby, or it's 225 if you get it from like one of the stores. But Fans Hobby charges shipping, so it'll probably be pretty close to that.
Yeah. Well, still, would expect it to be around 300, I would think, but it's much less.
That thing is absolutely huge.
It's a little bubbly, man. It just reminds me of like Pat Leard and the Dreamwave era of Transformers.
I mean, I think if you're into Fans Hobby, you're into that look. Cause that's the way. I think everything except their G2 Prime has that kind of chubby look. Like their Monster Bots had that kind of chubby, puffy look.
And gives me a chubby look.
I got the Monster Bots because no one else is doing them.
I'll just wait until somebody else does them or doesn't do them. I'll live without them if I have to. But I think it looks like they make quality stuff, and that's definitely a cool looking piece.
All three of the ones I have all three of the Monster Bots, and they're all production samples.
Yeah, I got that Scourge. Arch Enemy or whatever. It's really nice.
Scourge.
I will have to say, though, I picked up Power Baser at TFCon as well. That was another huge purchase. I picked him up. He is absolutely gorgeous, but I have to say, connecting him, the cab to the trailer in combined mode for the super mode is way more of a pain in the ass than it needs to be.
I've heard Power Baser was not very fun.
He's a great toy outside of that particular aspect. It's like I can spend 10 minutes transforming the robot and the trailer and then spend 30 minutes just trying to get the trailer, get the small robot to connect to the trailer in super mode just the right way. It's so super finicky. I'm like, it doesn't need to be this way. That's my biggest gripe about that toy. I don't regret the purchase. He's awesome. And as much as I love Power Master Prime, I have a special place in my heart for Power Master Prime because, as a kid, Power Master Optimus Prime was the first and only version of Optimus Prime I ever owned as a kid. I never owned actual G1 Prime, the original G1 Prime until I was an adult. So Power Master Optimus Prime is really special to me. And in addition to that, my brother is the one that bought it for me at a time in his life whenever he was having some really difficult personal issues. He got me that for Christmas, even though it put him in a bind. I didn't ask for it. He did it for me. And it's just something a family member does for you out of love that you'll never forget. And I love Power Master Prime. I love Power Baser. He has that look, you know.
I love the G1 and I have all its repaints, but I don't feel anything else has lived up to it yet. I'm still waiting.
Now, if they do a God Bomber, which I hear they are, and they do an inevitable Fire Guts, I'll probably be all over that, like white on rice. I'll be honest. I love the Fire Guts. I love orange things, orange and yellow. So I have to, must. So you guys have any closing thoughts?
I have one more quick story.
All right.
So first night when we're setting up for TFCon, my buddy that was a dealer setting up, he had a knockoff Weird Wolf in the box, like on the table, right? Duran comes over and he just gets so excited. He's like, oh my God, is that the Weird Wolf?
No, if you forget, if you remember, I'm sitting there, I'm walking by and then I go, I'm sniffing. I'm like, I smell something. Is it what I think it is? Yeah. I was trying to get it.
What I'm thinking of doing is buying it from him and then randomly putting it into new dealers' assortments or whatever at conventions. For
you torment me so.
Oh, why did you say that on the air? Why did you
torment me?
Oh, man.
Do you hate me? What have I ever done to you?
Oh,
ever.
Oh, why did you say that? Oh, that would have been great for the Christmas show. Oh, oh my God. Oh, I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
All right, guys. I believe next week I believe next week we're going to try to have a special guest, but I'm not going to announce it just yet until we get everything hammered out. Rick's been working on that one. He was actually at TFCon. I saw the table, but it was one of those things where every time I went by that table, I didn't have a chance to stop and actually look and see what it was about, because I was either getting something from Orson or I had just a little bit of time to look around for toys. But
let's leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. I do believe we're going to have a special guest next week. It's going to be a unique one. Just leave it at that. If you have any comments or questions on what we talk about here on the podcast, feel free to tweet them at us in a direct message or on Twitter in general at TFYLP, or you can go to our Facebook page at Facebook group rather at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. We discuss all things Transformers there and try to keep it a good, fun and amicable group for everybody to join and talk about the toys that we love so much. Check out the tftalk.net Facebook page, as well as the website. You can catch up with all the latest news and cool pictures that are Transformer related. Find out anything you want to know about TFYLP. You can download episodes, watch past episodes, all from the website. And be sure, absolutely, to subscribe and hit that little bell button down there here on YouTube. That way you can get notified whenever we go live or post new videos, because subscribers is where it's at. Make sure people know that you love TFYLP, because that's the only way to let people know is tell people that you love this podcast, because we love you. We do. We love you. We love you so much that Rick just, I think Rick's asleep.
What?
Yeah.
No, I was just checking what the love was like on Twitter.
The love. I want to thank everybody who is in the YouTube chat, Quinturium Prime. This was apparently your first episode. Thank you for joining us, and glad you liked the show. Antoine, as always, it was great seeing you at TFCon, by the way. Really good seeing you guys. And like I said, at the top of the show, I met quite a number of the Realm of Collectors there. Got to talk to a few of them that I actually hadn't got to talk to at any length before. And everybody that I talked to from Realm was great guys. It was great to actually meet Bobby Skullface and talk to him one-on-one. Even though it wasn't that much, he had some really cool artwork there.
With or without the mask?
Yeah, he was without the mask. I did not recognize him until he started speaking. I'm like, hey! and then also, Diecast and several of the guys from RFC, got to hang out with them in the lobby on Friday, I believe. That was a really cool thing. Great to see those guys too. I wish Brian and Don, you know, just not having Don at a convention felt so foreign. I wish Don was there, and I wish Don a speedy recovery. He's recently had a procedure. So, guys, have any other closing thoughts? Anything?
Let's go. Wife's yelling at me.
If you can to make it to TFCon, make it. They're great shows.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
I think she, as found, always, I think she found some of the empty boxes.
You are in trouble. All right, guys, we'll see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.